This is the Power 5 with Cal Lee and Warren Shaw.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Power 5, the Baseline NBA podcast. Cal Lee, Warren Shaw. We break down the top five teams of the NBA week ending. Excellent show we have up in store for you guys. We appreciate you guys listening to our recent show, the Baseline NBA podcast. Some really great topics and conversation. And my man, 50 Grand, brother from another mother, you know how we do. Warren Shaw helping me and helping you get a little bit of clarity about who really are the five best teams in the NBA as of this moment. What's good, my brother?
I'm chilling, man, and so salute to all the fans and listeners of NBA Baseline. This Power 5 thing is a great thing that we started for this NBA season, and I hope we are able to spark a lot of conversation as a result of our conversations here on the show. Man, I think just a great topic, man, to discuss on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, one of the things that I think is really interesting, Shaw, is when we start kind of weighing in on who we would consider as the five best teams in the NBA. I mean, we can, you know, paint it with a broad stroke, and we could just look at the teams and say, okay, Warriors, Spurs, Cavs, like they're always going to be in there. But I really think that the fluctuation is really predicated on their scheduling, and I think it's also predicated on who's doing what and who's doing the most and who's doing the least. And just as we have predicted, because of the parity that is taking place right now in the conferences and the scheduling that's been set up, teams that the last time that we did our Power 5 that we had high hopes for that would be able to sustain this very quickly fell right out of the top five. I mean, completely fell out the bottom. Teams like the Atlanta Hawks.
Would you say that they flew away? You know what I mean?
No. Black Hawk down.
Down. Yeah, they got shot out. They pretty much got shot out the sky, more or less, you know, struggling in an immense way right now. Injury to Paul Millsap, too. But again, those problems were starting before he left and was injured. So he's even back now as we record the show. So I don't know what happened with Coach Bud and his boys over there in Atlanta. But they have definitely dropped out of the Power 5, and, you know, I wouldn't even have them anywhere even near the top 10 at all.
No, I mean, and it's disappointing when we talk about, you know, this Atlanta Hawks team, because it's not as if the components have drastically changed so badly that these guys then suddenly now just kind of go on to 6-game losing streak. And the way that they've been losing is just absolutely horrendous. I just feel like, you know, they've absolutely lost their way. And it's one thing when you lose and it's just a matter of the team is just kind of in a funk. I think we had talked about this when we said that one of the things that's probably missing is someone in that locker room to help those guys get out of that funk, to help those guys kind of hit the reset button and get back to Atlanta Hawks style type basketball. They don't have that Al Horford, that voice in the room. And I think that has now kind of filtered itself through the rest of those players, where they're now looking over, turning their heads and not looking within themselves to be that dude. And I think until that happens, you know, this Atlanta Hawks team is going to continue to go through these surprising struggles that I really thought would have been kind of masked over when you have a great coach. Then Coach Bud. So let's go ahead. Let's get right into it. Waste no more time. I know you guys have been itching to find out who we have listed as our top five.
Number five.
The LA Clippers. What more can we say about the Los Angeles Clippers? We had them as a top team the last time we had them marked up as the Power Five. But just like true to form, man, this is a Clippers team that sometimes they completely just zone out. Now, they don't zone out as bad as the Atlanta Hawks, Shaw. But I'm a little disappointed. Some really unimpressive losses have kind of like backslidden this team from a number one spot all the way down to number five.
Yeah, and it starts again with the defense, just how it started with their defense being one of the top teams to begin the year. That defense has slipped, and they've been atrocious when it comes to turnovers. They just can't seem to keep the ball, you know, in their own hands. I think Blake has been pretty good. Chris Paul looks like he's a little bit banged up, so he might be having another, you know, early season injury that might be slowing him down a little bit. And to me, I don't know if it's, maybe it is just me. I just don't feel like DeAndre Jordan has been the same DeAndre Jordan that we've seen progressing over the last 2-3 years under Coach Doc Rivers. I just feel like something is missing there. He's still, you know, putting up decent numbers and everything like that, but I just don't feel like he's the same person right now. And I don't know what that is, because this Clipper unit was they were really humming to begin the year, and all things, it was all systems go. But now they've definitely hit a rough patch.
Well, I think it's it's also attitude. I don't know what it is either, Shaw. There was an attitude about DeAndre Jordan that we saw in the early outset of this season, and I feel like these guys have kind of adopted a level of complacency somewhat, where they're recognizing that they sprinted out of the gate, they look very strong, and now they're trying to pace themselves. And I think the only thing that I can say is, when you're a basketball team who has never really exceeded your expectations, you have kind of teased people too much, I think doing that is going to be to your detriment, because you don't have an off and on switch, maybe like the Cleveland Cavaliers or like the Golden State Warriors. And until you actually are playing on the big stages to have the propensity to do that, I think it does a disservice to what you are doing right now, because what you are doing as the Los Angeles Clippers is something that they haven't been able to do with consistency, was play the kind of high level defense that this team has been playing over the first month of the season. And now all of a sudden they've gotten completely away from that. And if they're relying on themselves to outscore whoever it is they're playing against, well then again, who is going to step up and make those shots when it's needed? At times it's JJ Redick, at times it could be Chris Paul, and then maybe at times it's Blake Griffin. But collectively, I still feel like they're still trying to find themselves, and clearly some teams have been catching them when they're doing that. And if you're feeling yourselves like you're the Los Angeles Clippers, you just basically are leaving room for teams to expose you for who you are.
Number four.
The number four team tops in the NBA. Didn't have them on there. We were waiting for them to show up to the party. And we the North in Toronto has finally showed up to the party. Shaw, Jurassic World is back in effect.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with this roster. Continue to be impressed with Dwayne Casey as a coach. You know, they continue to deal with the injuries that they have and don't use it as an excuse. They haven't had their starting power forward the entire season in Jared Sollinger, and you have, you know, Pascal Siakam running around out there. You got Patrick Patterson running around out there at times. You know, they even found some minutes for Nuguera. I just don't know how they continue to do it. Well, no, I do know. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. And those two guys have really just taken on the lead for this team. And they've built the chemistry that has been budding over the last, you know, three or four seasons that they've been playing together. And they really have been just a great offensive team, and shooting the three ball a little bit better than I would have expected them to do to begin the season, something that I always thought was kind of an Achilles heel for them. But, you know, they're getting it done on that side of the basketball and doing a great job and an immense job overall offensively, defensively in the middle of the pack right now. Just can't seem to get over the hump, you know, against those Cleveland Cavaliers, as they played those, you know, played them three times already, as we've discussed, as we talk about this Power Five here. But again, I really do like this Raptors team overall.
And really, the Raptors team, to your point, Shaw, we probably would have had them higher had they just been able to beat, you know, their nemesis, like we feel like is right now, is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And up until then, you know, we don't know where exactly they're going to place themselves. But I completely agree with you. This is a roster, a group of guys who got a little bit of dog in them and want to prove to the rest of the NBA that they're not just, you know, a bunch of relics, you know, who have been casted out to pasture by other basketball teams. And Dwayne Casey is like, you know what I'm saying, like the junkyard dog. He's just collecting these dudes and putting them out there to put in work. And look, the reason why I like the Raptors and being in the top five is because it gives me an excuse to use the name Siakam. Because, you know, that looks like when my man hits a jumper or dunks on someone, you can use that, hit it with some fierce Siakam. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the Raptors right now, they're in a groove. They're one of the best teams playing right now at this very moment. They stay true to form to their defense, but their key is offense. And one other thing I want to throw out there, Shaw, because I know at some point we're going to have this conversation on our show, the Baseline NBA podcast. But can an argument be made about DeRozan and Lowry being the best backcourt in the NBA at this moment? Is it plausible to have that kind of conversation? I know we want to talk about Klay and Steph, but I'm just saying, this is still a Warriors. Like, to me, I feel like this Warriors team is not completely predicated on that backcourt combo as much as I am. We're saying that the backcourt combo of the Toronto Raptors in Lowry and DeRozan are proving to be, you know, that kind of tandem for this year's NBA, you know, not using the past and previous to count, but this NBA.
Yeah, if you're going right now today as we record the show and do the Power Five, they might have acquitted themselves as the best, you know, backcourt tandem currently in the league, just by virtue of their statistics and what they've been able to do in total output and getting that Raptors team to the level that they are in the Eastern Conference. So right now, today, yeah. I think overall, if you look at the body, that they're still second, third, or maybe below that. I can't see them much further than that. But Clay and Steph are going to have the reins for a little while here, I think, overall. But in this day and time, I can definitely see giving it to them because they've played really well, and I don't think they're going to be slowing down anytime soon.
Number three.
All right, now the number three team in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is a Cleveland Cavaliers team, Shaw, that, again, man, I don't know what it is with some of these top teams, boys. Sometimes when they start feeling themselves, they get into this zone and then they completely just phase out and allow, teams that really have no business beating them, making them really look bad. And I go back to the point that we've been talking about before. Sometimes I feel like there is too much dependency on the king, LeBron James. I understand that this is still his team, but at some particular point, it's got to fall on the shoulders of guys like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love when LeBron James is not at his best, when he's not 100%. And that bench at times can just absolutely disappear. And they're going to need every single component if they're going to have any expectations to beat the top dogs in the team, which, ironically enough, may actually come from the Western Conference.
Yeah, depth seems to be an issue. It wasn't to begin the year because they were just kind of running. Their starters were going out there running people into the ground. The bench just needed to kind of hold serve, if you will. But the bench has been giving up some points as of late. And LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love, they've been exceptional this year. I think this is by far and away Kevin Love's best season as a Cleveland Cavalier. And I don't think you can point any fingers on those three guys. But yeah, Tyronn Lue's definitely got to do a better job, I think, in getting some of his bench guys a little bit better prepared. Or, even just figuring out some different schemes in that sense to put people in the right positions. Channing Frye, as we've alluded to on our show, was a big piece and a big cog for them off the bench. And he's been out the last, five to seven games or so, obviously dealing with the death of his parents. And, shout out to Channing Frye. We definitely want to see him get back to the NBA as soon as possible. But I think this Cleveland Cavaliers team, has some shortcomings when it comes to the bench. But overall, they're still obviously very good. We're talking about them in Power 5 here.
Number two.
Always do. The second best team in the NBA, Shaw. Probably no surprise to us. But I am a little surprised, though, because this is the type of team that we kind of say, it's kind of feast or famine with them. If they have both components working in their favor, they could be about as dominant as any team that you'll see in the NBA, the San Antonio Spurs. And what more can we say about the San Antonio Spurs, man? 11-4 in the month of November, but definitely catching their groove. And when we had our conversations about who you got part due revisited between Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard, to your credit and your point, the guy that people need to be talking about from an MVP perspective, Kawhi Leonard, leading the charge as the Spurs have catapulted themselves from the 5 spot to the number 2 spot this week.
Yeah, San Antonio just continues to really dominate on the road. That has really been their calling card after being so home dominant, I think, a season ago. And Coach Pop just presses all the right buttons as always. Manages the minutes, gets different guys in there, and then you just never know. Dwayne Dedman's now contributing. It's always what they do in San Antonio, and there's not a whole lot you can say that hasn't been said about this team already. Yes, right now they're trailing, one of the more elite teams in the Western Conference, even in our Power 5 and in the standings as a whole. But the San Antonio Spurs team is very, very good, and it's nice to see Pau Gasol finally turning things around a little bit. I think maybe he might be getting a little bit more comfortable.
Number one.
The number one team in the NBA, the Power 5, number one for us, the Baseline NBA podcast, Golden State Warriors. What more can be said? These guys ran off 12 straight after a horrific loss to the Los Angeles Lakers. And quite frankly, there might not be any team in the NBA who could put the ball in the hoop better and with more efficiency than the tandem of Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, 320 point per game guys and stuff, Klay and KD, and they're clicking faster than a lot of teams and a lot of people would have hoped or thought they could have. You could say it was struggling or, for whatever that looks like for Golden State. Their definition of struggling in other teams is completely different. But there was an adjustment period, but they got over that very, very quickly. KD has been an absolute man-child. I'm just so impressed with what he's been able to do from a defensive standpoint, blocking shots and really just trying to stay in front of guys and even just being a shot deterrent in there, using his length to really bother and affect people defensively and, really trying to help out Draymond Green on that side of the basketball. Klay seems to have gotten over some of his early season struggles. Steph Curry, again, they said he wasn't the same Steph Curry. I was reading an article that he basically is not the Steph Curry he was last year, which was just you know, a walking ball of flame. But his numbers are very comparable to the first year he won the MVP. And that's scary. So the thing people think he slipped, and he hasn't slipped, is just he's not doing that flamethrower stuff that he was doing a season ago. He's still very, very good, obviously, and one of the elite shooters in the NBA.
Shock treatment, man. When you see this basketball team, it's like people are looking for holes to expose. And look, this team still is not where they need to be, I think, from a defensive perspective. But I think it comes together when they are less worried about their ability to shoot the basketball. And one other thing that I think is ultimately impressive about this basketball team, which I think is going to be ever so dangerous as they continue forward in the season. You know, during that 12-win stretch, I don't know how many games it was. I think it was 6-7 straight games where the team acquired 30-plus assists. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is just a ridiculous amount of assists for a team to have against the opposition. And it basically means that the ball distribution is spread so evenly, so nice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's everybody has an opportunity to shine in the system, and it just kind of flourishes through Steve Kerr. When you think about this Golden State Warriors team, if this is how these guys are going to be, listen, man, is it far-fetched for us to be talking about them acquiring 73 wins again because of it? Even though that they've already acquired three losses and they're clearly ahead of that curve, so to speak. But the way that they win the basketball games, the way that they can dominate, it's very scary once this team are able to combine all components, less turnovers, a little bit better defense, holding teams down and not allowing teams to get back in after they get these gigantuous leads and stuff. The Golden State Warriors are a monster and well-deserved to be the best team in the NBA so far this week. Couple of honorable mentions, Shaw, real quick before we head out. Listen, man, that five spot is kind of shaky, and we could have thrown a couple of teams in there. The Houston Rockets and the Utah Jazz. Are you serious right now? Those teams are balling right now, bro.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I think James Harden continuing his assault on the MVP race, you know, staying right up and neck and neck with Russell Westbrook. But the Rockets team, they've, you know, had a tough win last week playing in Golden State. You know, and getting that, eking it out in overtime and shooting whatever it was, the two teams combined for some insane 83 threes or something to that degree. And they're going to continue to fire the basketball up there at the rim. And the Utah Jazz, you know, still not healthy, man. Still don't have Alec Burke back. Still don't have Derek Favors back from his injury. And Quinn Snyder has that team, you know, playing at an acceptable level. George Hill has been in and out of the lineup as well, too. You talk about a team that doesn't make excuses. They just go out there and try to do it, you know, on the defensive side of basketball and let Gordon Hayward lead them. I'm really impressed with Utah, despite not having their full allotment of guys. And, you know, come hell or high water, I think if they do get healthy, it's going to be a very, very tough team in the Western Conference, as many, and we did, accurately predict for them to be.
And a big honorable mention as well too, Shaw, the Oklahoma City Thunder. When Russell Westbrook, to your point, is doing what he's doing right now on the clip of triple doubles that he is getting right now, it looks great to the individual eye and the MVP watchers, but it's translating to wins for the Oklahoma City Thunder, which now really magnifies the dominance of the Brody. No questions asked. The Brody is in full effect right now, bro.
There's not enough superlatives in the vocabulary to talk about Westbrook and what he's meant and what he's done for this OKC team in this specific NBA season. And again, just no signs of stopping. I tip my cap to him every single night. I look at the box score, I watch him play. I just say, I can't believe he did it again. I can't believe he did it again. At this point, it's becoming old hat. He is a walking triple-double. And nothing he does this season should surprise anybody.
At all. Once again, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in for this week's Power 5. Be sure to check out my man Shaw at Shaw Sports NBA, or check us out at Game Face Lee and the show's Twitter handle at NBA Baseline. We're also available on Instagram. Shaw, is it at NBA _baseline? Because, you know, those dudes still haven't given us our rightful Instagram line.
Oh, God. Come up off it, guys. Come up off it. Yeah, we are at NBA _baseline on Instagram, but at NBA baseline on Twitter, so no underscore there. But yeah, if you see them on IG, man, holler at them and tell them to get up off of our name, man, because we need that. We need that right now.
Oh, man, awesome stuff. And be sure to check out my man Shaw's site, www.shawsports.net. Power 5 will be posted there. And also check out our recent show, the Baseline NBA Podcast. great topics of conversation. As always, we love to discuss the hot button topics of the NBA. For the Baseline, Cal Lee, Warren Shaw, this is the Power Five, and we'll catch up with you next time.